Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
I was thinking about starting out today with my favorite topic. You know what that is, right?
I think I have an idea. What? You're a hateful man.
Yeah, I am a hateful man. I'm grouchy a lot. And that's because I feel like there's less people that have common sense than there are. Less people that have common sense than those who do have common sense.
Okay.
And so I look around and I'm like, why? Why not just do it the easy way, the right way? Why not just get my order correct the first time? And anyway, sometimes I sweat the small stuff. But what's something that ticks you off?
Well, it's funny. I was thinking about what I hate this week.
Yeah.
And it's important to me that you write down my order. So you mentioned getting my order wrong. So there seems to be a trend in the server industry where maybe writing it down is seen as maybe a weakness, or you're not as good a server. If you write it down, you'll get these servers that you'll tell them your order and they'll just kind of lean there and go, okay, yeah, oh, all right. And uh-huh. you.
And you're telling them, make sure sauteed onions, not the regular onions.
Right.
Sauteed onions on that.
Yeah, hamburger. As soon as you start making changes, like if it's, hey, I want large pepperoni pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not expecting you to, you'll probably remember that from here to the kitchen. But when I start altering the dynamics of my order, I need you to write it down. Because now it's all dependent, and I don't eat alone. So I'm usually with at least one other person, if not a handful of other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of orders to remember.
How often?
And this person doesn't want pickles, and this person doesn't want onions, and this person wants tater tots instead of fries, or whatever it is. I need you to get that right. So I see it as a responsible, professional thing to write that down.
What if they have a phenomenal memory and they're just pretending to write it down? Would that work?
Doesn't matter. It makes me feel better.
Uh-huh.
I'm the customer. It makes me feel better that you're going to get your order right. Otherwise, now I'm stressed out.
Yeah.
From the time I give you my order till the time my food lands, I'm thinking, they're going to get it wrong. They're not going to get it right. I'm going to send it back. Now they're upset. Now who knows what I'm going to get?
Yeah, and
it's all about efficiency.
When you're dealing with people that's handling your food, you got to tread lightly.
You do. I'm always respectful. That's a hard job.
It is a
hard job.
That, and even if they are getting it wrong, if you lose your cool halfway through, who knows what's going to end up in that hamburger?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a poor choice to express discontent. So I'm always careful and thoughtful and respectful, but I want you to write it down. I want you to write it down.
How often does it go wrong? When people don't write it down.
Now, I don't alter the order too much because I believe in ordering it the way that
I don't believe that at all.
No, it's true.
Because I know that you're like
I always say I want it the way that the cook or the chef wants it to be.
Chef's choice.
Yeah, don't alter it. If that's their signature dish or their thing, I want it the way he wanted it. Or she wanted it. I don't want to change it. After I try it, next time I might make some changes.
Okay.
But that's why I carry my own seasonings.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What kind of seasonings?
Mostly just got one right here.
No way. In your pocket?
In my pocket. Right here. Little flaky sea salt. And you can just pinch that on there and make all your troubles go away.
Right now, speaking of eating, I've been eating a lot less acai.
Okay.
Right now I'm eating bananas.
Oh, really? I thought maybe it was ice cream, and I was going to say ice cream in the morning.
Yeah.
That's a guy making his own rules.
Yeah. I did that up until I turned 40. And then, life made its rules for me. Bananas, strawberries, and Greek yogurt.
Okay.
But it's just the honey flavored.
Okay.
Honey vanilla. And because I watched a YouTube with some doctor guy, I can't remember his name, but he's got the beard, short black hair. And he said that what is bad in yogurt a lot of times is the food coloring, because when they put the probiotics in there and then they put some type of food coloring or artificial flavoring in there, then that kills the probiotics. And he says, you can go ahead and get some, you know, Greek yogurt that's got a lot of fat in it. It's okay to eat that in the morning, but just make sure that it doesn't have a lot of artificial stuff. Make sure you can read and pronounce all the ingredients, and that's going to be okay for you. And so I've been trying that for the past couple weeks.
Okay. And?
Well, I mean.
How's your Greek?
I don't really notice a whole lot of difference, but I'm trying. And okay. I've been eating a lot less acai thanks to our conversation a couple weeks ago.
Sorry to ruin your life. Yeah. But you're a healthy guy. I mean, you're a healthy guy. So you might not feel that you're active and you're moving and you're always doing something. So you probably won't feel as big a shift. When you're unhealthy like me for 40 years or 40 plus years and you shift, it's dramatic. The feel is much, much more pronounced.
What you eat for breakfast affects you all day?
Yeah. So it's important. And yeah, you read the ingredients. You know, it's as simple as that. There's lots of good stuff out there.
I was waiting for you to shoot down, though, something. I know you think that Greek yogurt is just...
Greek yogurt's a scam. I'll say it right here on this podcast.
That's what I was waiting for.
Greek yogurt is a scam. That is a marketing effort to use yogurt that isn't right.
But you know, that's what gasoline was too.
Sure. I'm not saying it's not a legitimate yogurt. But it has nothing to do with the Greeks. I don't know where...
where that came
from. Yeah, I have no idea where that came from.
The Greeks are back there.
We had it all into the yogurt.
Where is the patent law on this? okay, so another thing I want to talk about is it's summertime, and what is your favorite summer memory?
Ooh. You know, I was just talking to a friend about this morning at the gym, and we were talking about summer vacation. And when you're a kid, I mean, looking forward to that first day of summer vacation.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Like busted out of school.
Just, I don't, you know, school's
done.
Reading
that math book or just like taking it and
tossing it. Throw the backpack in the corner of the room and it doesn't move for 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, that is my favorite summer memory. Just the lift of this is my time. You know, this is where I shine for these next 3 months. Me and my friends, me and my brothers, my a friend of mine who's been my friend since we were, I think, 5 or 6. But we would get on our bikes, and we live down in the valley, and we would get on our bikes, and we'd ride up the hill to the Southgate Mall and go to the arcade.
Yeah.
And they had this game there. It was this Star Wars game. Where you would fly through
the asteroids or something.
Yeah, you'd kind of fly through this channel. So I think it was similar to like the Death Star type thing. But those are awesome, awesome times. I don't remember the heat. I don't remember just the sweat.
Yeah.
You know, but we're on our bikes, little kids.
You had
to be 8 years
old by the time you walked into
Area. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Just disgusting.
110 degrees.
Yes. We're in flip-flops, you know, riding up the hill.
You're not riding an aluminum, like,
No.
21 speed or 27.
No, that was pre Mongoose and Diamondback and all that stuff. No, this was old school Huffy, you know?
And Huffy was adequately named.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what you're doing when
you're
huffing
it.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, just the freedom. And I was talking to my friend about that this morning, is that in our formative years of life, when we're young and impressionable, you looked forward all year to that break, that 3 month break. And the anticipation of that summer break is what got you through all the drudgery leading up to it. You know, if I can just make it through this next, you know, then it'll be summer and then all my cares are, you know, And that's when you're like 8 or 9 years old. You don't even really have any care.
Yeah.
And now, and then we're adults and we have cares, heavy, laborious cares. And we don't get that. We give it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's year round. It's, you know.
I remember feeling bad for my parents. Like,
yeah.
Like, I didn't think about my parents' life and what they were going through and appreciate all that they sacrificed for me, except for that. I remember thinking, I'm out for summer break. They don't get summer break.
Right.
That has got to be.
You'd wake up and roll out of bed, they're gone. You know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, those poor suckers, they had to go to work.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn on Gomer Pyle, and I'm going to run across the street barefoot to my friend's house. I mean, yeah, that was our time. And then, yeah, and then when you're an adult, you don't have that. You know, it shrinks down to whatever your vacation time is, and, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks, you know, sometimes it's a matter of days is all you get. And, you know, so it's no wonder that there's so much negativity and conflict in the world. And it's because we don't have summer break as adults.
I think as far as industrialized countries, we work a longer work week and more days per year mm-hmm. than almost all other industrialized countries. Is that?
I think so. I've worked with some people from
Spain,
Europe and England, and they France, do holidays.
England,
where
I think we work more days. England might
like
be
they'll
close.
Work like 6 weeks and then have 2 weeks off, and
yeah.
then work 6 weeks and have 2 weeks off. You know, so I don't know. I don't know if there's something there. If there's might be 50 years of
your life.
40 hours a week, and then you go on these trips and vacations. You know, shout out to Adam. You know, on vacation right
he's
now.
He's in Hawaii right now.
Yeah, he's in Hawaii while we're sitting here lamenting.
Suckers.
But yeah, I mean, we work really, really hard. And then when you're done working and you get your summer vacation again, you know, because you're retired, well, now you hurt.
And you don't even want to get out of bed.
You can't go anywhere. And then there's COVID and you get shut down again. I mean, yeah, it's where is that summer break as an adult? It's gone.
So if you could go back to your younger self, you said something earlier that I want to like focus on. And I was thinking about that this morning. If I could go back to my younger self, I'd tell myself, stop worrying.
Mm-hmm. Because
I remember as a kid, I was a worrier, just like what you were talking about in school. I could not wait for summer vacation. And my life was pretty darn good, even without summer vacation. Sure. It's just like, just enjoy the fact that you can eat 2 pounds of candy and wake up feeling like Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, if you get a bad night's sleep at this age, you're out for a week.
Exactly.
You know? And as a kid, yeah, there were several nights where we were up all night, you know, watching movies, drinking Jolt, you know, just eating Cheetos and garbage. And
whatever you wanted.
Yeah. And then, oh, you want to go run? Let's go run. You'd run around, you know, you'd go run, you know?
Yeah. I wish I could tell my younger self, take more risks.
Uh-huh.
Don't sweat the rep. Type of thing, the reputation and, you know, trying to impress other people, girls, whatever, your friends, just chill out, enjoy it because this, you are immortal right now.
Yeah.
And there will become a time where mortality will creep in. And so enjoy this.
Yeah. Young Sean had no idea what he had.
You're right.
You know, so yeah. And none of us, and we're in a race, right? We're in a race to grow up.
Get up. Yeah. You know? And now we're here and we're like, oh. This is what I was waiting for the whole time.
It was this?
Yeah.
Bills and, you know, grocery store run. Come on. No, I want to take my shoes off and run as fast as I can across that hot street to my friend's house and play video games.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So when you ask favorite summer memory, that's it. It's just didn't matter. Every day, there was no plans. You woke up. You didn't know what you were going to do. My mom had a strict rule. We couldn't go to anyone's house or make any phone calls till 9 a.m.
Really?
Yeah, out of respect. It's too early. Even though kids are up at 6 a.m.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, you couldn't. Before 9 a.m., you don't bother other people.
Okay.
And something I still wish we practiced today. But, Yeah. And so every day was just, what do you want to do? Let's go. You know, oh, let's get on our bikes and ride.
Honestly, the not having the plan was my favorite part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it seems like we've got a plan. We have so few of those days, those vacation days, that we have to plan them out meticulously, that I feel more stressed when I'm on vacation because my my schedule is more strictly monitored than when I even go to work.
And you got to pack it in.
Yeah.
You know, you got to pack it in.
Yeah. Well, I want to go into something I hate.
Okay, let's hear it.
I hate a lot of things, but one thing that I really hate is when people borrow my stuff. And
I'm quickly thinking if I have any of your things.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I do.
And number one, don't return them just without me asking, or return them broken or some type of abuse that's occurred. And trailers seem to be one of those things that have like "kick me" written on the back of it as soon as you
lend it. Aren't I borrowing one of your trailers? I think my sister-in-law asked me.
Oh yeah,
haul a trailer.
I didn't make the connection. It's
Sean's trailer.
It was funny because on that phone call, my wife received the phone call. She didn't call me directly, which was funny. Your sister-in-law did not call me directly.
My sister-in-law is a smart lady.
Yes, and it said, hey, can we borrow Sean's trailer? And she knew. She didn't say, can we borrow your trailer, as in, you know, Brittany, this is jointly yours. this is sole and separate property. And can we borrow Sean's trailer? And Brittany looks at me and she says, they want to borrow your trailer. And I start shaking my head right away. And she goes, he really likes that trailer. And she goes, I know. We'll take really good care of it. And I'm still shaking my head. And she goes, okay, yes. And I'm like, this means no. The shaking the head means no. And she goes, he just really wants to make sure that you take care of it. And I'm like, nope, I do not want to lend it out.
Funny. Yeah, well, she asked me to haul it because she doesn't have experience hauling a trailer. And
oh, so you'll be driving it.
So I'll be pulling it.
Okay.
So if that gives you any
That does comfort, make it feel better.
Yes. I was looking forward to not having a trailer because we've ordered all the food for delivery now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to haul a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be pulling it. So I loaned a trailer to somebody, and they had a blowout on the freeway and returned it to me with the blown out fender gone, lost, didn't go back for it, and the shredded tire in the back of the trailer, and returned it to me and said, here you go, thanks.
It was tandem, so they could still ride on one wheel, or did they
Changed the tire.
They used your spare?
They used my spare, and I usually go with two spares.
Really?
And returned it to me just destroyed and said thanks and left.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pledge to you in the witness of this yogurt cup.
Yes.
That I will take care of your trailer. And if there's damage.
There is a spare, but there's only one in it. I guess I could put two spares in it. I've got several trailers that fit it.
Okay.
But no, I had the exact same experience and lent out my, and it's just a flatbed car hauler that was lent out this time. But it's something that I waited a long time for a trailer. I remember walking around neighborhoods when I first got out of law school, and we were dirt poor, just trying to pay off those student loans. And everybody had a trailer parked out in front of their house, it seemed like. And I would tell my wife that guy gets a trailer. That guy gets a trailer. I don't get a trailer. And so finally I get a trailer, and I like it. I really enjoy having my trailer, and I lent it out. Exact same scenario. Came back, shredded tire. And the thing was, they said, hey, when we were hauling this back, the tire blew out. And I'm like, yeah, that's why they have a spare, like mounted right on the tongue.
Happened.
And I'm like, did you have any trouble putting the spare on? Like, no, it took us, you know, an hour or so, but we got the spare on and everything worked out okay. And I was like, okay. And there was a shredded tire sitting in my trailer. And like, so, you know, here it is. And again, the fender was all dented up. And it was a guilt trip on me that my trailer tire blew out.
You loaned them a...
And yeah, and so I had to go deal with that shredded tire. And I swore at that time that I would not lend out a trailer again, but I have a bunch. And I'm just...
Getting your first trailer, that's exciting. That's exciting stuff. The possibilities. You know, that's all a trailer represents.
I don't even know what people do without
trailers.
It
has no purpose. Yeah, other than possibility.
You are
things you can haul.
The guy that is called now during the moves. Hey, I got this couch. It's not going to fit the back of a pickup truck.
Well, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
But you use it more than other people use it.
I do. I use my trailers all the time, and I don't even have a pickup truck, and I get a lot of flack.
That's
from
right.
my family and my friends about that.
Are you hauling a trailer with a minivan?
I used to. Originally, I did, but I have I have a Nissan 3500. You know my Nissan.
That's a van.
It's not a minivan.
No, I mean, it's a big van.
The giant van.
But it's a van.
Yeah, I do haul everything with that. And I do get a lot of flack from that. Everybody's like, when are you going to man up and get a pickup truck?
Uh-huh.
And in fact, we just test drove one yesterday.
Okay.
And it was everything I wanted. It's very similar to your truck. It was a Ram 2500.
Uh-huh.
What do they call it? Mega cab.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And 4x4. It was awesome. And my wife scheduled the test drive without me even knowing. So she just came by
work.
On board. She came by work about a half hour after I got off work and said, hey, can we go test drive a vehicle between 5 and 6 p.m.? And I said, sure. She said, I found this really good deal, and let's go test drive it. So, yeah, we went and test drove that vehicle. And I have a BMW right now, and I really like it. I like the way it drives. It's a plug-in hybrid, and it charges on this pad that I drive over.
I've seen it. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, and so that, I never have to actually even plug it in. I just drive over the pad, and it charges. I never have to, around town, fill it up with gas. And so I really like that. Plus, when I go out of town, I can just put gas in it, and it just regular, you know, combustion engine. But so they're like, okay, what do you want to trade in? And she's like, yeah, let's trade in the BMW. Oof. And the amount that they, you know where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
The amount that they offered my BMW in exchange for that truck, that was the shortest conversation I ever had with a salesman. I was like, okay, nope, that's not going to work. And I stood up right then, hand out, shake. All right, we're done. And I walked out. And my wife was a little upset about how I ended the conversation. She's like, you didn't want to like counter offer or anything. I was like, I was so offended about how much he offered me for my car that I really like that. No, there was no further discussion to be had.
Yeah, I totally understand. Totally understand. But is there a limit on vehicles?
Yeah, there is. And that's the problem.
But your kids are leaving. So at what number of children is the van not happening anymore?
Well, that's funny because as I was at the dealership, I got a phone call from somebody asking to borrow the van.
Mm.
And we do loan out the van a bit, and it has actually been taken care of. People are respectful for it. And so I do like lending out the van because, you know, when you need to haul 12 people, you're usually doing something for charity, right?
Sure.
You're not hauling 12 people just for the heck of it.
Right, unless you're a human trafficker.
Okay.
They're big on vans.
Yeah, I suppose so. But normally, yeah, you're going to a church activity. In this case, going to girls' camp. There's a guy volunteering his time, his week off of vacation, to haul a bunch of kids up to girls' camp, and he's asking me to borrow my van. And so, yeah, we're going to do that. And I use it to haul my kids out and their friends to pull the boat and go boating. So I use it at least once a week. So I've thought about turning in the van a lot, but can't go there because a pickup truck's just not going to... I can only fit 6 max.
Sure.
In a pickup truck. And on the boat, you need 8. 8 sure. is a good crowd for a
okay.
boat.
Okay. Well, as long as you're using it. If it's just sitting there...
I have 0 cars that sit. I don't have vehicles that sit. And I don't... And that's the thing is... I don't buy a car without saying, okay, now we got to switch out another car. We've got the cars that we want and we use. We've got to figure out the rotation there. So, I hate lending out trailers. And that's the one thing. Tools in general, but trailers in particular, because, gosh, I don't think people went through what I went through, the envy of the trailer for like 5 years before I finally got it. But I'll tell you one of my favorite summer experiences was actually when I was adult. And I got my first boat. It was this $3,000 1989. Oh, shoot. What was the name of it? But it was this outboard boat. And I got it for, you know, a great deal. It was probably worth more than that when I bought it. But I got it for $3,000 because it's from a friend and they showed some pity on me. And we were taking this boat out and I would take the youth group out for church every week. And I remember we did that quite frequently. And when we would go out there, the funny thing was, is whoever launched the boat, you know, whoever was driving the van to back it up had to go down the ramp and then, you know, swim to the boat. And one time we were sitting out in the boat and the ramp was super slippery as at Senator's Wash. Mm. And sometimes,
oh man,
it is super duper slippery.
It's an ice skating rink.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we were going, getting in the boat, several of us slipped getting into the boat. And so we knew it was slick. And so we're sitting out in the boat and there is this guy, Nick. He is a funny guy. And he's pretty beefy. And but he's really funny and he's athletic. He's the type of guy that he can move. He was a Border Patrol agent. And so he was in shape, but he was a big guy. And he was coming down the ramp and I was talking to the kids. There was a bunch of 15 and 16 year old kids in there. And I said, hey, I'll bet you guys $5 that he slips on the ramp. And they're like, I don't know, you know, they knew Nick and they'd challenged him to athletic competitions. Agile, yeah. And they'd seen that he's actually more than meets the eye. And they're like, I don't know. He's pretty sure footed. I'm like, $5. You got $5, everybody. And I'm like, I will pay each of you $5. That's how confident I am. And then you just have each one of, I don't know if I was going to forget the details on the bet. Anyways, it was $5. And they're like, yeah, okay, we'll take the bet. And so as he starts nearing the water's edge, I'm like, Nick, let's go. What's the holdup? He's like, oh, yeah, sorry, sorry. He starts hustling. And they're like, that's not fair. And sure enough. And we're out in the water a little bit. We're out further than necessary, probably about 25, 30 feet out away from the dock. Or it was, there's no dock, from the ramp. And sure enough, he slips hard. I mean, his feet go over, his head slip, lands right on his shoulder. And we started cracking up, but we don't want to like show him that we're laughing at him. So we're like hiding our head and under the boat.
He could be severely injured and you're laughing. And
we're just laughing.
Your money.
As hard as we can. And then he tries to get up again and act like he didn't fall. He does this quick roll over to his stomach.
He meant to do it.
Does a push up, you know, and gets back up. And I'm like, come on, man, let's go. And he slips again. Oh. And we are still laughing. He tries to pull off the second one, slips a third time. It's flat out in the water. So there's like, now he's just drenched head to toe. There's no pulling it off. And so he swims to the boat. And climbs up on, and I can't tell the story without laughing, but we were laughing so hard we couldn't breathe, and he couldn't hear us laughing, and he's huffing it in the water, swimming to us, and he pulls his head up over the boat, and he goes, hey, did you guys see me slip?
Did you see that?
And at this time, we're like begging for air because we were laughing so hard that he was like, what's going on? And that was one of my favorite memories ever, just going out. That boat was a 125 horsepower.
Okay.
I chewed up more tubing ropes and more wakeboard ropes with that, hit more rocks. But I think I replaced probably four or five propellers on the first summer on
that. Nice.
Just because that was my learning boat.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So summer is just fantastic. We're in it. It's warming up. It's getting hot. Not thrilled about that, but.
What's your boat situation?
I have one. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I broke down. I got lucky. I bought mine.
Right before COVID?
Right before COVID, before everybody knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I finally decided, you know what, we need a larger boat. We had a smaller boat. I had my learning boat.
Yeah.
Still. And
flames on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Custom.
Yeah. Custom paint job on that bad boy. And that's a great boat. In fact, my brother just sold it a few weeks ago. And as it was leaving, he was questioning, maybe I shouldn't sell that boat. It's mm-hmm. a good boat. It's one of those boats that just kept on going. No major problems. Just a good workhorse little boat.
Yeah.
And so then we're like, okay, well, you know, we got, I married my wife. So two more children in the mix, or a bigger family now. You know, we need a little bit larger boat. Most of everybody in my family loves the river and going to the river. And so when we go, it's, you know, 5-6 people. If we invite friends, there's 8-9. You need a larger boat.
Yeah.
So
how do you get them all out there? Yeah, they got to take different vehicles.
Yeah. So we usually pull two vehicles. We usually go two. We'll buy the annual pass because you get two.
Yeah.
Two passes for that. So
$75.
We usually know that we've got two, but it's worked out in our favor quite a bit, because a couple times you'll have a blowout or you'll have something happen to where, oh, I'm glad we have this other vehicle, because now we can go get what we need to take care of this other mm-hmm. situation. So never hurts to have a spare tire or a spare vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but no, yeah, we're getting ready. We were just thinking the other day that after girls camp next week, then we'll get the boat ready and it's time to start going out again.
You haven't been out yet this summer.
I haven't been out this summer at
Water's
all.
Water's great. Been out a few That's times.
Not true. I was out a couple months ago with my brother. We wore wetsuits because it was still cold. But in the wetsuits is great.
Yeah, I've been out 3 times. Water's great.
Yeah.
And Senator's Wash is it's good.
I don't do the wash very much. I don't like the wash.
Yeah.
It's beat up pretty quick. If you get more than 2 or 3 boats out there.
Are you wakeboarding?
We'll wakeboard, and then on my brother's boat, we can wake surf. And that's
in wake surfing, you can still do when it's pretty choppy.
Yeah. Yeah, but the wakeboarding, you need, it's better with smoother water.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's unpredictable sometimes, the water level till you get there. And
well, there's an app that tells you exactly what the water level's gonna
really?
Be. Uh-huh.
Oh.
And I look at
I've
that.
I've always wanted that. I'll have to get that from
really?
You.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. And I always decide by, depending on the app, if it's 235 and it's above sea level. So
okay.
If it's 235 or above, wash is good to go. That's high enough where you're not going to hit that rock that they refuse to put a buoy on.
Uh-huh.
I've put 2 of my own buoys
on. Oh, yeah. There's several homemade buoys out there.
And
that rock from
time. Last time I went out there, there was none. Whoever thinks that it's awesome to steal buoys off that rock, you know, they've got
somebody just left this buoy here.
Yeah. I don't know. But I've put several out there. I know other people that I've hit my outdrive on it before. I know other people have done that. I do not know what that fee that we're paying for is. I know it's not a lot. You know, it's $10 per parking time or $75 a year. But they do zero maintenance on that ramp. It's crumbling to pieces. The parking lot has no parking lines. Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to any of just how you're going to park your trailer and where cars park instead of trucks that are pulling trailers. And they won't put any buoys out there. Plus, another thing that really gets me, this is what really gets me. Uh-oh. They're dredging the river, and they're taking out all this beautiful sand in the river, which is nice because there's less sandbars to hit, you know, especially when you're putting in at Hidden Shores.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, several spots are hard to get through now.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear they're dredging, hopefully, those spots.
And they've been dredging for 2 years now.
Okay.
And so they've been making it a lot easier to get out of Hidden Shores and get past that area, you know, right where you exit Squaw Lake.
Uh-huh.
There was a big sandbar right there.
Yeah.
They're getting up to that area. Anyways, the sand that comes out of there is beautiful. It's super fine sand, and it feels great on your feet. They're dredging that out, and they're putting it at the end of the road, at the end of Martinez Lake Road. Not Martinez Lake Road, Senator's Wash Road.
Oh, that's where all that sand's coming from.
They're creating a big sand dune.
Okay.
For no reason.
Connecting the dots.
You can't go there. You can't ride your four-wheeler there or your quad or your side-by-side. And they could just as easily put that around the shore of Senator's Wash.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And made that gorgeous.
Made it a beach.
Yeah, can you
maybe
imagine?
Maybe that's the plan.
No.
We always try to, when we talk about things we hate, we always try to understand the situation. Yes. Maybe we don't hate it so much.
No, there's no plan.
This maybe that's the plan.
Doing bad things for stupid reasons.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've talked to them. I've even asked if I could have
some
of this.
Let's borrow your van and your trailer and some shovels.
I got a tractor.
And let's go start moving it.
Yeah, I got a tractor. And I was like, Thor, let's load up. We got a dump trailer. Let's load up the dump trailer and use some of that sand to make a sand volleyball court. And so he's like, yeah, that sounds good. It's in California, so I figure...
I'm sure that's not just open to anybody.
Yeah, so he'd called and asked about that, and they said, definitely not. And he's like, well, can we buy some? No. Well, okay, that was that. So.
Right. That's a brilliant idea. That would change the game at Senator's Wash.
It's all mud or rock.
Walking on broken glass.
Right?
At the beach.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't do that there, but...
I've wondered where, because all of a sudden there were dunes there,
mm-hmm.
and I wondered what is that? Where's that? Why did they import that? What is going on? And now it makes sense. But yeah, it's great sand. Yeah, funny. Well, yeah, the river that's an iconic summer Yuma activity.
And you've got an outboard or inboard outboard.
Yeah,
and so. When you hit those sandbars...
I don't.
You don't?
No. Been on that river since my youth.
Uh-huh.
And you know where they are. You know when to stay to the right, when to stay to the left. I don't hit them. I have hit them once or twice, uh-huh. but not more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they shift, though.
They shift, but they don't shift so dramatically, and you can usually predict that towards the edges it's deeper. They pile in the middle.
Yeah.
So if there's any question, you wear polarized glasses, you can usually see them when they get higher than, you know, maybe 3 feet from the surface. You can usually see them and avoid them. Yeah, I'm not 100%, but I'm also not out there.
You just jinxed yourself.
I've never had to, yeah.
But you only boat between, like, Martinez Lake and Squaw Lake. Or do you go north of Squaw
Lake? I've gone quite a bit north. In fact, one of my fun summer memories was before my daughter moved away to Utah. She loves to jet ski. She is a jet ski fiend.
Really?
Oh, she would go forever and ever if she could. She loves it.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, hey, before you leave, let's load up the jet skis. Let's load up several tanks of spare fuel, and let's just go till we can't go no more.
Yeah.
And we did. And it was a blast. And we went up to some weird, strange, crazy how it changes as you go north.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. I love the river. That's why I don't like Senator's Wash, because you get the water, but it's ugly and it's not attractive.
Right.
The river changes and shifts, and there might be wildlife.
You don't feel like you're in the desert.
No.
I've never been to the Nile, but I always feel like that's what I envision the Nile to be like in my uh-huh. mind.
Oh, yeah.
And so
we go in those backwaters, and all of a sudden you're on the Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
And it
feels
fantastic.
Like the Disney Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, it's otherworldly, and it's right there. You know, it's 30 minutes from the door. You can be on this other planet.
Yes.
Yeah, it's super fun.
And the water, even if it's windy, honestly, I enjoy going when there's a bit of a wind, like 15 miles an hour breeze. That will like wreak havoc on the lake. But on the river, if you go with the breeze,
What's
amazing is it's like you're standing still.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going 15 miles an hour pulling your skier, and the wind is going with you, and the water is smooth. And so it's like you're just standing still, but you're going. And that is an amazing feeling. If you can time that right... Uh-huh. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I love sundown on the river is one of my favorite things.
Uh-huh.
When the water starts to get low, or the sun starts to get low, you see the sky, and there's mountains, there's terrain, there's vegetation, there's the water, and you don't feel like you're in Yuma. So every trip to the river is a little mini vacation.
Adventure. Yeah. My wife, she stresses out a little bit when we go to the river. Because I do tend to hit sandbars. Mm. And I've got a jet boat specifically because I hit sandbars so often. And I don't like to limit where I can go. I've taken my jet boat all the way from Imperial Dam to Blythe. And I took out at that crossing right there. So,
oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that more than once. I had to do it once. That was a bucket list type thing.
Uh-huh.
And when we didn't actually even plan it, we said, let's go to, it was me, my son, and his friend. And I had just got the jet boat, and we were going up, and we were getting over these sandbars that previously we'd had to push the boat over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, this has a really low draft. It's only got like a 4-inch draft when you're on plane for this jet boat. And it's a 21-foot Yamaha. And so I'm going, I'm like, this is crazy. And I'm even going past, I remember there was like this little aluminum fishing boat that was like, he was just pulling it across a sandbar, and I scooted right past him.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, man, I'm feeling amazing. So we got to Picacho, and I was like, you guys want to go further? They're like, heck yeah. So we kept going, and I'm like, when do you want to turn around? They're like, never. So we're like, okay. So we just kept going, and we made it all the way to Blythe. There were some sketchy spots. I think we had to push off maybe like two sandbars because I misjudged the water,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to see where the current is going through the channel. But we made it all the way to Blythe, and then I got to Blythe, and I had to make the phone call. Hey, my trailer is parked at Squaw Lake. Do you mind grabbing it? Because there wasn't enough gas in the boat.
Oh, to make the return trip
back down, and it was dark.
One-way ticket.
Yeah, and so I had to pull in one of those big favors, like, this is one time I need a don't ask favor. Just grab my trailer, meet me in Blythe. And that was an adventure.
Fun. Yeah, those are good times. But yeah, Yuma summers, you know, we dread them. We dread them for the heat, but there's a lot that happens here in the summer that is exciting and fun.
And if you've gone boating anywhere else, you go boating, you get in the water, you get acclimated, and that feels good. But when you get out, you're always shivering.
Yeah.
And in Yuma, it's 110. You get out, you're fine.
Yep.
In fact, it's like in between skiers or tubing sessions, you're like, oh, I got to get back in the water. That's pretty awesome to be able to get out of the water and sit in the boat and just feel fine, especially if you've got a good bimini. The first couple of times that I went out this year, I hadn't put the bimini back on. And I'm like, we don't need the bimini. We're just going to go out for a few hours. My thighs are still peeling.
Yeah. Yeah, you need the bimini. Yeah, I have family in Utah and Idaho, and they ski in the summer. But their water's still in the 60s.
You know?
No, so they have heaters on the boats.
Yeah.
Like you get out and you need a heater. That's not fun.
I went to northern Idaho a year ago and went boating in Lake Coeur d'Alene, and it was in July, and it was a hot day. And I jumped in the water, and I was like, ooh, yep, that's cold.
Yeah.
And I appreciated the warm bath water, a senator's wash. It can get a little warmer.
It's a little, uncomfortable when it's just everything's kind of tepid and hot and gross.
Going back to lending things, I've lent out my boat, started lending out my boat.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So it's a 2007, it's a Yamaha jet boat, and it's pretty solid boat. So it's all fiberglass. The bottom I've refinished several times because of my sandbar incidents. I hit one sandbar so hard that I hit my shoulder on the rearview mirror, smashed the rearview mirror, shards went into the shoulder, and had to get stitches. And the people on the front of the boat, poor souls, you know, flew. They didn't fly completely out of the boat, but they smashed into the bow of the boat pretty hard. And we've hit some sandbars. But I digress. We refinished the bottom of the boat. So I got this stuff that Navy SEALs apparently use. At least that's how the company markets it, that they line the bottom of their boat with this. And you can apply several layers without stripping it off again. And it makes it super slippery. They call it Speed Coat 49.
Okay.
And so you put this stuff on, and the first time I went to launch my boat, I unhooked the front of the boat from the trailer before I had it in the water, and that boat started sliding right off my trailer. I was like, whoa, crap. And I had to like run up and grab it, like reattach it, and then get it in the water before I unhooked it. It is super slick. So anyways, I hit the sandbars with that, and I can push the boat off pretty easily. So my daughter is just, she just turned 17, and she's got a group of friends, and I'm always up for boating. But that age group, for some reason, everybody's got to have the right agenda at the right time. Otherwise, we're not going. And so she'll say, hey, I want to go boating. Great. I'll get the boat all ready, get it hooked up. Oh, so-and-so can't go. Can't go. I'm like, so what? So let's go boating. We got two or three. Let's go. No, so-and-so can't go. Can't do it. Two or three times after that, I'm like, hooking up the boat and unhooking it's the worst part of the whole trip. Yeah. So I said, okay, we got this kid. He grew up boating. I know he knows how to back up a trailer. I know he knows how to handle a boat. I'm going to take him out next time when we go as a group. He's going to do everything. He's going to hook up the boat. He's going to drive it out there. He's going to launch it. He's going to trailer it. And then I'm going to just make sure that he knows what he's doing with my boat. And he's going to be your designated boater guy that you take out. And so we did that. And did great. Now, here's the thing that we got major credit, major props for, and the things that I hate the most. The boat came back, and the tubing rope got sucked into the impeller, which happens, right? You always got to have somebody watching the rope on rope patrol. And the impeller, you know, it's not that forgiving. You get that rope sucked up in there, and it's tough to get out. So they got the rope sucked up in the impeller, and they came back, and I was like, no big deal. I can yank an impeller in like 10, 15 minutes if I need to. Normally, I can get up in there and just get it out myself. So I got up underneath the boat, and they're still, you know, sitting there in their swimsuits and towels, and I pull out the rope. I got it out in 5-10 minutes, and like, no way, we were working on that for an hour and a half. So that's dad's strength. That's sure. A testimony to dad's strength there. And I got the rope out, and I noticed there was a gouge in the bottom of the boat, the lowest part right near, right in between the jets. And I said, hey, you know, there's a gouge right here. And the guy that I lent it to, he immediately goes, oh, we must have hit something. I'm sorry. And he jumps down on his back, crawls under the boat to take a look at it. And another person in the group, whom I'm related to, I won't name, but that has just recently turned 17 years old, said, we didn't hit anything. There's no way that was us. And I'm like, I'm the one underneath the boat. I know this boat. I know when there's a gouge in it and when, you know, this something's happened. And props to the kid that like jumped down on his back and was like, oh, really? What happened? And jumped down and got to look at it before the automatic denial, that knee-jerk reaction of it wasn't me type thing. And he's like, oh, shoot. Well, how can we fix it? When do you want to fix it? And that right there was like, I chose the right guy. I will lend you my boat anytime.
Okay.
It's going to happen. Things are going to happen with that. And if you're willing to fix it and take responsibility for it, that just boosted him and my esteem or whatever.
But this guy's not related to you.
He is not yet.
Okay. So you had nothing to do with his
upbringing?
Yeah.
No.
No, that's a good story.
No.
Good
story. And yeah, this just happened a couple weeks ago. And for days, I tried to bring it back to bring the moral of the story back. And I was talking to my family member and I said, listen, what super impressed me was about how this kid took responsibility. And again, we didn't do it. I'm like, listen, I know my boat. There wasn't a gouge when you took it out. There's a gouge now.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did it in between.
Yeah.
And we call that in the law, res ipsa locator. The thing speaks for itself.
Okay.
And so there you go for having a dad or an attorney for a dad. I go, all I want you to say is that you did it. I just, that's all I want. She's like, but we, I'm like, listen, this kid, gold star, you're in the black right now. All I want to hear is that you did it. That's all I want to hear.
Yeah.
It took her like 3 or 4 days and her mom like saying, your dad's not going to let this go.
Right.
And then finally she's like, sorry, Dad, we probably did it. I'm like, no, you did do it.
Oh, yeah. It never works.
Take the probably out of there.
Yeah.
And just let the rest of it ride. So
yeah, better to be up front. I remember one summer, just before summer, so it was right before graduation. I had several older friends that were graduating, and so it was like a senior ditch day, but I wasn't a senior. But I ditched anyway, and we took jet skis out. And we had fun on them all day. And then during the day, one of my friends and I, and it was a light tap, we bumped into each other.
Uh-huh.
But it must have been, we didn't notice any damage. In fact, we looked. Oh, I didn't see anything. But it must have been just the right place of the hull where it's maybe the weakest.
Yeah.
So then after spending the day riding and running those things pretty hard, we brought them back. And as we were unloading them, we noticed a crack, you know, in the hull of that jet ski. And my friend's parents didn't know that we took them out. They were his. And my parents, I don't think, knew that I was not there, that I ditched and
There's a lot on the line.
There's a lot happening here. And so we dropped them off, and everybody kind of pretended to not see the crack. Me and two other guys were kind of like, nah, that was probably there before. Because we bumped, but it was not much.
Uh-huh.
Certainly not enough to crack the hull. So we all felt, okay, well, that's fine. About a week later, we're sitting at dinner at my house, my parents and me, and my brothers, I'm sure, were there. And we get a knock at the door, and open the door, and it's this guy that that took the jet skis out with us.
Oh, yeah, your friend.
And he said, hey, my dad is getting the jet skis fixed. It's $400. You were one of the guys that bumped it, so I need $200. Like, says that to my mom at the door. And I'm, of course, behind him just going, oh, no.
Where's my brown pants?
Yeah, exactly. So it always finds you.
Yeah.
You don't escape anything. So it's better to just man up and say, yep, no, I did that. You know, here, you know, let me know what it's going to cost, or I can come help you fix it, or I'll take care of it, or I'll return the trailer with a
same thing,
repaired tire.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, all those it's things just be better to do that.
It's,
you know,
it's acknowledgement
accidents
of the,
nobody's angry.
And even if it's not an accident, even if it's like, you know what, I was so stupid, I did this. And if you just say it, it's like, we all do stupid things.
Sure.
But it's the unaccountability
mm-hmm.
that's what takes
wasn't me.
Out. Yeah. Wasn't yeah. me, or, you know, sorry this happened and that's it. And like walk away.
Yeah.
No.
No, this kid got in trouble. Then I got in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and $200 in 1994.
When you're 16 years old.
Yeah, would have, you know, yeah. So it's not. Yeah, it's better to just hop down. Where's the damage? How do we fix it? I'm on it. That's who you want.
Yeah, we're running out of time, but I got a good story to follow up on that. So I was in high school, and there was this girl that I liked, and I wanted to get her attention. It was a Friday night, and so we go to her house, me and my buddies, and we start throwing snowballs at what we thought was her window. And
all romantic stories start with throwing things.
Snowballs, yes, yeah. Exactly. And so I'm throwing snowballs at her window, and threw one a little too hard, busted the window, and her dad shouts out, what the, who's out there? I'm like, oh, crap, wrong window. And so he comes bolting out of the door. He is the town prosecutor, the county prosecutor. And so we're running for our lives. And, you know, he's this old guy. He's probably, I called him old at the time. He's probably 45. He's
probably younger than you are now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, yeah, we jet out of there. And we got to the safety point where we were out of range of him being able to catch us. And we're like, whew, that was close. And then, you know, it hit me. It was like, this isn't right. We got to go back. And so we go back, and it's probably 11, maybe midnight. It's late. We woke him up doing this. And so we go back, and we knock on the door, and we're like, here we are. What, we'll pay for it, obviously, but we're sorry that we did that. And he was very impressed with it. He goes, yeah, dang right, you're going to pay for it. And, you know, he has some choice words for us that night. But afterwards, he actually didn't make us pay for it. And I'm kind of in that situation now. I could see, you know, some kids doing that at my house. And if they came and fessed up to me, I would have a lot of respect for those kids. That would really make a big deal. It really would impress me. But I did that one time. Now, there's plenty of times I didn't, right? But that was one time I did. I'm so glad I did.
Did you end up getting a date with the girl?
No, she showed up on Monday and for some reason was upset at me that I broke her window.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, listen, I was trying. And of course, you can't talk straight to girls.
No, no.
You always got to pretend like, you know, I don't care. Like, I was just there just trying to harass you.
I was just throwing snowballs. Yeah. Whatever.
Your house is just on the way to the other house we were going to throw snowballs at. And no, I didn't acknowledge that it was because I wanted her attention. And if I got attention, it was always doing something stupid that would annoy her. So, sure. No, never worked out.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Maybe had she been impressed, then you wouldn't have the wife you have today.
Yeah.
And there's no snowballs here.
So advice to my younger self, snowballs aren't as impressive as they first appear to be.
Sounds like a good idea. Had you described this plan to me prior, I would have said, this sounds like a really good plan.
Yeah.
That girl's going to be impressed.
Well, thanks, Chris.
You bet, Sean.
Appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to going to girls' camp. That's going to be a good but exhausting week ahead.
It's going
to
be a good time. We always dread it, but we always have a really good time, you know. And it's because, you know, you're there, Brittany's there, you know. Adam and Jessica are going to join us this time
in the kitchen.
In the kitchen,
really?
Yeah. So we'll have a good team, and really, that's what's so fun. Is just all the chatting and stuff that goes on while you're in the throes of mm-hmm. getting ready for service. But yeah, so we'll be doing 3 meals a day for 5 days, nonstop for 160, you know, of our youth from the church. So it'll be an adventure. Always is.
Yeah, very good.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.